Let's go. Hello. We are the Brothers Geek, and this is our... Wait, I screwed that up. Hello, and welcome to the Brothers Geek podcast.
No, you had it right the first time.
No. I do too. No.
Totally screwed that up, dude.
Hello.
You ganked it.
No, this is what I always do.
This is Patrick's 10th attempt, by the way.
10th attempt. Yeah.
He didn't push record the first 7 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello, welcome to the Brothers Geek podcast. My name is Patrick. This is episode number 170. We're recording this on April 3rd with my two brothers. Hello, Christopher.
Good morning.
And hello, Andrew.
Good morning. Welcome to the Brothers Geek podcast. It's April 3rd. It is 10 a.m. Pacific
time.
You didn't give the time. You didn't timestamp it.
It's Sunday.
It's 10-12.
April 3rd.
Pacific time.
Now we can see how long it takes for us to post this from that
painful
time.
Yeah, right? Good job, Andrew.
Good job, Andrew.
Yeah, because it's always my fault when things take a long time.
It is always your fault.
I'll take the blame. I got broad shoulders. It's good. My shoulders are broad. I can handle it. I can bear the weight.
Okay, I got a list. So you guys just comment and chime in whenever you feel okay. We never talked about the wheel.
Is the slap on the list? Please tell me.
We're not
talking about the slap.
We are not commenting on the slap.
That's it.
I'm going to direct people towards this because I watched it this morning. I don't watch SNL, but generally because I don't have broadcast television, I will say this: Gerard Carmichael hosted SNL last night. His opening 6-minute monologue is brilliant. He's a fantastic that he makes that joke in his. He is a stand-up comedian and he's had a TV show on NBC before. His stand-up is fantastic. He is a fantastic stand-up comedian, and his opening monologue for SNL last night. The way that he pulls in.
I had to Google
the slap. What is going on with him promoting his like new special that's premiering on HBO Max?
Oh, wow.
Everything that's been going on, it's a perfect monologue. It is fantastic,
dude,
and it's the best take
Max might be my favorite streaming service. It's my go-to these days. Like, it has the best shows that I've been watching. It has the most good movies, and I would love to bring this up. This isn't in my notes even, but I heard The Batman is going to be on HBO Max like April 19th, 13th, something like that.
Like 2 weeks away.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that it's like almost just a couple weeks and you can watch a movie that's
might
in the theaters.
We might have to watch The Batman on Easter or something. Just
seriously, that's awesome. Okay.
We might have to record a watch party.
We should do a live watch along.
We haven't done one of those in a while.
We haven't. That would be fun. That would be fun for the Batman. That would be fun.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna break it down here, and
let's go. Get it with us. Let's go.
These are things that happened while we weren't recording. So I'm gonna backtrack a little bit. Did you watch the Wheel of Time series, Christopher?
Yes.
What did you think? Did you finish it?
Yes.
I have mixed. Like it had some parts that were good. It missed kind of the boat for the book. The book had way more nuance for sure. Like had more, but like kind of just a flat ending. Like it kind of like petered off for me. Is that mixed?
Yes, I enjoyed aspects of it, for sure. But I think the choices they made in order to translate the book to TV, really dumbed it down into young adult bullshit.
And here's a big comment that I liked that bothered me the whole time was there's like a in the book there's like a will they won't they with the two main characters. I'm blanking on their names right now. It's sort of like
Rand
and the girl, and in the show. In pure like YA fashion, they're already together, but they can't be together. Like there's some kind of like, we've already had a relationship, but like
they're perfect for each other, but circumstances pull them apart.
Right. So it's sort of like or like their responsibilities pull them apart.
Yeah.
So
yeah, circumstances.
So, yeah, circumstances. Right, right.
Intention and obstacle.
So here's what I'll say is, like, he wrote it very traditional fantasy, where it's like, this small town, you don't get married and have sex, like, or like, you're not having sex before marriage. Like, you're like, and I kind of like that. Like, they made it very, like, they're trying to make it like
Gawain is a love interest. Yeah.
Gawain. Thank you. And it's I don't want to belabor this too long. It's just kind of like, the books are definitely better. Read the books. If you watch the show, read the books. The books are way better. That's
what do you guys?
Financially better.
Yes.
I watched the first episode to see if it would grab my attention, and it didn't. So
yeah, it's kind of weak, Ashton, dude.
So Ashton watched it all like in one day or one weekend, and I kind of like came in and out of it.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of the change to make the Aes Sedai like the main character of the first season? Because she isn't the and I forget the I'm sorry.
Morgan.
Yeah, the character is Moraine.
Moraine Sedai.
She's not the focus of the first book, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
So what did you guys think about that change? I mean, the actor who plays her is great. I forget her name. She's been in a bunch of stuff.
Rosamund Pike.
Rosamund Pike. She's awesome.
She's great.
But what did you guys think of her, like, her character being the central focus of the first season?
I understand why they did it, because I think that she's a key to a bigger world, but it takes away from the village kids don't know anything about this outside world. So her explaining to the village kids what's happening sort of like explains it to the reader a lot. Like, oh, they've never been out of the Two Rivers. So I
in
think
the
that,
books,
that makes sense to me, but
okay. In the books, do they reveal
the first episode of the show draws in elements from the prequel book?
Yeah.
It's called New Spring. And so Patrick is right. I think focusing on Moraine helps to flesh out the world building.
The Aes Sedai are a big part of it. The White Tower is a big part of it.
Yeah. There's a lot of, none of that is in the first book.
Yeah.
The Eye of the World. Okay. And so it Eye of the World as a show would have been really difficult because you have no clue what's going on.
Right.
Like, but the reader follows, the reader finds out what's going on along with the characters in the book.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and then in the second book, he starts to introduce, like, new concepts. I mean, every book he introduced new concepts and stuff. You know, it's sort of like, as a writer, like, Tolkien even did this. He, like, retroactively, like, fixed stuff in The Hobbit that he put in Lord of the Rings. And sort of, like...
Well, Hobbit was first.
Right. Well, no, what I'm saying is, like, he fixed things in Lord of the Rings that he put in Hobbit he didn't know where it was going. Like, he didn't know that the ring was going to be the ring when he was writing The Hobbit. But, like, so that would have, like, changed how he wrote it. But when they made the Hobbit movies, they knew the ring was the ring.
Yeah.
And so they, like, really dialed into that being a.
Here's my next question. We can move on after this. In the book, did they reveal who the dragon is? The dragon reborn by the end of the first book? Because that's kind of like the central mystery.
You don't know that until
season.
The end of the second book, I would say. Like, is that right? Like, I mean, it's kind of like...
There's a huge moment in the end of that they don't do in the show, that they do at the end of the first book, that is all but confirms who the dragon is.
Okay. And they
sort of like hint that all of them are having, that all of them could be. They're all having dreams. Yeah. They're all having problems.
So the book is not like that at all. That, like, oh, it could be any of you five. No, not at all. The book does not leave that.
Because that's the central mystery of the first season is who is the actual dragon, right?
They really, I think for modern sensibilities, that was also a change that I'm okay with in the show, but for modern sensibilities, they have to sort of tease the idea that it could be any one of the five. But the book is definitely more shading towards the ultimate dragon than the show really plays up that sort of mystery that she doesn't really know. Moraine especially, and because she's the perspective character mainly in the show, she's got to play that up. She may be, but the book makes it pretty clear.
Well, and then they're all five are there. They have a name for this where they're like part of the weaving, you know, there's the weird name. Anyways, so back to my list. I watched the Adam Project on your recommendation, Christopher. I thought it was kind of weak. Not terrible. Ryan Reynolds, very watchable, very fun.
It's not terrible. Yeah,
it's not terrible, and it's a fun watch, but very forgettable. Very forgettable.
Ryan Reynolds is very forgettable. Ryan Reynolds is always watchable. It is formulaic, and yes.
And the kid did a great job. That's what I want to say. It's like him pretending to be adult. Like the young version of Ryan Reynolds, he did a great job. So that kid,
I watched the Adam Project as well. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I don't feel the need to ever watch it again.
Exactly. So
it's very,
exactly.
Very forgettable. Yeah, but it's a good watch. It's 2 hours. It's 2 hours of fun. It's harmless.
I dug it. Right. It's harmless. It doesn't really like ask a lot of the viewer.
I will say this though. Surprisingly violent for a family movie. Like it's supposed to be like, it is like. Very violent, given
here's
family.
Here's something that I'll like comment on. It's like
I'm air quoting that, listeners. It's quote unquote family movie.
The faceless like henchmen that just like get obliterated every time they get shot or something. Like it's like it's a great way to like not have a giant pile of bodies in your movie because like literally he kills like 20 dudes. Out back of his house, and like if his mother came home to see like a bunch of like henchmen dead bodies, what would they do with those dead bodies if they didn't?
Samurai Jack.
Yeah,
it's the Samurai Jack approach to violence, where it's all robots.
Yeah, it's all exactly.
You're not worried about him being a mass murderer.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Or him being like affected by killing these guys who are just like I don't know a guard who took a job. Like they don't know this grand plan.
It's the stormtrooper idea. It's also the droid idea from the prequels. It's like to give the Jedi a you know something to do. They got to hack 500 droids in half, but can't kill 500 people because the Jedi are killing 500 people.
Exactly.
No, they're destroying 500 droids.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. Continuing on my list. Did you guys see the Miss Marvel trailer? That's a TV show that's coming to Disney Plus. Did you see that?
Yes.
It looks pretty good. I read the first 6 issues of that Miss Marvel series when it came out. I don't know much about it. They're probably going to go deeper than those first 6 issues. But it seemed like a cool story. It was a very interesting. I love the idea. I love this spin that they're going on in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that's like... You exist in a world with superheroes that have saved the world multiple times, so you be a fan of certain heroes.
Yeah.
And kids growing up wanting to be superheroes when there actually is, like, Iron Man flying through the sky. Like, that's the generation that they need to focus on. And even to Hawkeye to some measure.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She's a fan of I'm excited Hawkeye. For this. They need to dial into that way more. Like, the Hailee Steinfelds, the Miss Marvel, while we're on the subject.
It fits with the Marvel ideal of... And DC with the Snyderverse went almost the opposite of Superman can be the idea of a Superman is terrifying.
Yes.
Like the actual the
this
potential
guy that they can't control has all powerful. Right.
Yeah. Like he's all powerful. They bring it in. It's like the effect that he would have on the world would be multifaceted. Like people would worship him as a god, and people would be like people like Bruce Wayne would evaluate him as a threat.
But governments would be utterly terrified of what he could do.
And in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they're not gonna. It doesn't seem like they're gonna address that. Like that's a very dark, cynical way to look at it. These are people who they look up to the superheroes. Superheroes are heroes. But there's a darker reality to that. But having, she's Pakistani, so I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, but it's Kamala or Kamala. being like this generation who grew up idolizing the most powerful female superhero on Earth.
Right.
And then stylizing herself after that, like a fan reaction, uh-huh. is going to be... And I never read the comic. The only thing that I really know about the comic is the commentary that went on when Marvel announced that we're going to have a young Muslim female central comic book character, mm-hmm. and now they're making a TV show about her. I'm hoping that it isn't, you know... I hope they dive a little bit deeper into that reality, right, and they right. get... They really kind of, and they're not going to go super dark because Marvel doesn't go super dark, except with their Netflix series, which are on Disney Plus now. And if you guys haven't, and you guys should do a rewatch. If you haven't rewatched some of the Netflix stuff,
I mean, I might rewatch Daredevil, but like I can't rewatch Iron Fist or Luke Cage again.
I can watch Luke Cage again. I think I would watch Iron Fist again.
Yeah, and maybe the Defenders. I'd watch Daredevil and the Defenders.
Season one of Jessica Jones, which is an entire season about the aftermath of trauma.
And like the next thing on my list is Spider-Man No Way Home, which actually has Daredevil from that series in one cameo scene where he, you know, so he's in that movie. So he's like MCU.
Okay, I have a question. I have a question about Spider-Man No Way Home. Okay. I was very entertained by it. I haven't gone back and watched it again. Didn't really feel the need to it. I love Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man obviously is iconic, and he kind of was part of that original boom. Does this movie, is it just a nostalgia watch? Like, you feel so good watching it because it has Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield and all the callbacks and all the weaving through. Does it work on a larger level as a film, or is it purely kind of like a charming nostalgia watch type of film?
I think that you're hitting my critique of it on the head. I think that it is a fun watch. It's very nostalgia stroking. If you haven't seen literally all the 20 movies that came before it, then you have no idea what the F is going on, or have no like commitment to it. Like,
Christopher, as the Spider-Man guy in the three of us, what did you really think of No Way Home?
I loved it. And I love the fact that they are acknowledging, winking at, but also narratively trying to make sense of it and doing a clever way of doing that. I think it appeals to all of that, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think
I don't think there's anything wrong. I'm just curious if it would like work without, it would work as well with all kind of like all the nostalgia they're pouring into it. Like, mm-hmm. I cheered when Andrew Garfield appeared on screen. When he walked through that portal into the dining room, I was like so elated, as I love Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. But
I'm not a fan of Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. I think that you have you're misremembering those movies. He was like a dick Spider-Man, and
you're wrong. You're misremembering those movies. Dude, he's awesome,
dude. He's those are the worst. Those are the worst.
They Spider-Man. Are not the worst. You're the worst.
I think
you're
I
the
think,
worst.
Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 3 is the worst, dude.
The worst.
The worst.
I mean,
you're the worst, Patrick.
By far.
So Andrew Garfield is a great Spider-Man. So, he is by far the best actor ever to play Peter Parker.
True. But here's what I'll say is, like, I think that they sort of fixed Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man in these movies.
Because I agree.
They dialed into the fact that his movies were stupid and ridiculous, and his character was all kinds of messed up and like had no self like confidence anymore. And they even like dialed into that. It's like, listen, man, amazing.
You're remembering those movies so wrong.
They're bad, dude.
You gotta go
they're
watch
bad,
them again, dude.
They're
go
bad.
Go back and watch them again.
No, I'll stand by it. I don't even care, man. Those movies are bad.
They're good. You're wrong.
They're not good.
They're good. You're wrong.
Why did him becoming electric eel man fix the gap in his teeth, Andrew?
Because it's a superhero movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. Sticking with our Marvel stuff, Eternals. What'd you guys think of Eternals? This is a deep callback because we haven't recorded in a while. I wrote some stuff down.
I just watched it again, and I really like it. I think it's interesting. I think the conflict is interesting. I think I enjoyed the mythology, the Marvel mm-hmm. mythology that's baked into that movie.
So. Right.
Yeah. I did a rewatch also. I liked it better the second time. Mm. I feel it suffers from you're just introduced to too much at once, like all 10 of these people.
100% my critique is like too many characters, and they don't get like a really good beat. The second on any watch, of them. Yeah.
The second watch though is better, and
yeah.
I mean I'm the reason the movie kind of works for me is I'm a Richard Madden fan. I think he's great.
Yeah.
Him as Icarus, he's better the second time as Icarus. Like you kind of
I really wanted more interested. I really wanted more Jon Snow, Kit Harington. I didn't know that he was going to be such a small part. I thought that we were going to get more Black Knight, which like the movie doesn't need more people for sure. Or more characters. Like, it definitely spends... I mean, I would say an hour of that movie is just, like, tracking down each person and finding out what they're doing. I love all the flashbacks. I love the aspect of, like, the freaking Celestials inside the planet and all that lore and all the stuff about, like, the snap is Thanos trying to keep the Celestials in check. And,
I'll say this.
I think that stuff is really cool.
And this is neither here nor there, but we're getting, it's funny because I had a couple conversations this week with Moon Knight, the first episode of Moon Knight dropping. We are now into Marvel characters that I legitimately, like this next phase, like with the Eternals, Moon Knight, Miss Marvel, those characters that I legitimately have never read. Any of the comics.
My
information is like one inch deep on these characters.
Apparently
are coming to me as like the geek friend that they know asking, he's like, so what's going on with Moon Knight? I'm like, I literally hold my hands up. I'm like, I don't know.
So
about Moon Knight.
I've done some research about Moon Knight because of this show, because I didn't know that, and I get those questions too. We are our own separate geek information buckets that all the normal people come to ask. So you have to be ready.
Yeah, the normies ask me questions all the time.
the level ones and level twos coming to us and being like, "What's the deal with Moon Knight?" So apparently there was a series that came out a few years ago. Matt Reed, I want to say, is a writer. That sort of like really is the new Moon Knight that they've like fleshed out, because Moon Knight used to be just Batman. He was Batman in the Marvel Universe. He was a human guy that he didn't have multiple personalities even. He had aliases to try to hide who he was and protect the people that he was. But he was like a billionaire Bruce Wayne, travel the world kind of a person. But he didn't have Gotham. He like went to wherever the problems were.
This is a long way around that you did to say you did a lot of research into Moon Knight.
I did research into Moon Knight. And then, and so I'm going to try to find that Moon Knight series because I want to read it anyways. Now they've become more of a mystical Moon Knight thing. Over the years, he's got powers, he's got split personality, and he's how they're gonna do his powers in this series, TBD. He's definitely like, he's got an aspect of a god in him. Mm-hmm. And what'd you think of the first episode, since we're talking about it? Like, what did you guys watch it?
Yeah, watched it.
What's your thoughts? What's your feelings?
Christopher?
Really enjoyed it because I like the those series that aren't like tropey sort of set up, and it's a different take on narrative that I like, the disjointed aspect of it. Really, the structure of the first episode really communicated the nature of the character, and I thought that was terrific. So yeah, I think it's only a 6-episode series, right?
It's really short. Yeah, I mean, It's like a mini series or like a long, like a extra long movie. Like it's not very,
I'm a person who I don't need answers. I'm okay with uncertainty. And so, I like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
I like that there's a lot of mystery and there's a lot of like stuff we don't know and he doesn't even know. And so like we're discovering it with him and it's, there's a lot of weird shit that is kind of, it's really creepy. I mean, that hallway scene when he's like hitting the door and the thing is like coming at him, really creepy. Like it's got some scary shit to it. So I like that. Yeah.
I mean, I'll continue to watch. Oscar Isaac
he's great so good. In everything. I can't believe I didn't say that. He is like amazing. I will watch him in anything. Like he's on that list of, he can do whatever he wants. And have you guys ever seen Inside Llewyn Davis? God, that movie's great.
I've only seen part of it. I haven't watched it beginning.
It is a slow burn. It is a slow burn Coen Brothers movie, but it is good.
There's a couple Coen. I have never seen the Coen Brothers like series they did for Netflix, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs or whatever. I never watched that.
That's incredible.
And Inside Llewyn Davis, and there's a couple other ones that I haven't seen, but that's like a hole in my Coen Brothers knowledge. Is
you got to watch the Buster Scruggs. That is an incredible series.
Well, okay. So Moon Knight will continue to watch that. Since we're on the Marvel thing, I'll stick with this. I'm trying to wrap. This is a rapid fire show, by the way. Shang-Chi. What did you guys think of Shang-Chi? Did we ever talk? We never talked
Loved
about
it.
Shang-Chi. So
there are scenes in that movie that are the best that Marvel has ever done.
Such good, like,
yeah.
It goes from like the bus fight scene to like a little bit like high fantasy towards the end there, and that's why there's such a big swing.
I don't mind the big swing with Shang-Chi.
I really liked it. But man, the kung fu and Simu Liu is so good, and like I even like Awkwafina. She's great, but like. She's kind of just like that Marvel side character, tropey comic relief person, but
it's tropey that way. I think Simu Liu is like he's like Robert Downey Jr. level watchable for me.
I
think he can carry, like, if they did a trilogy of Shang-Chi movies, he can carry that. I think he's that engaging to watch.
Well, and then he seems like a nice guy in real life too. He's like down to earth and caring and humble.
I mean, he's Canadian. He's Canadian,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I think here's what I'll say is like without Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans, these two big like heart that like carried the first parts, like we lost both of those. So like where does Marvel go from here? Who is like the center? And it's like they really got to find that like that through line, the leader, the people the audience loved, because like I mean those two guys were like amazing actors and they were charismatic and fun to watch. You know, you need that fun to watch.
And like, for as good as Tom Holland is in the Spider-Man movies, and Brie, it just didn't really, the reaction to Brie Larson, I think.
Yeah.
Couple years ago, and I love Brie Larson. I think she's
I mean,
a humongous.
She definitely got some short shrift. Yeah, there's some toxic shit going on.
There are people who love her, and then there's the toxic fanboys who just absolutely hate her.
Yeah.
I had thought years ago that after the Infinity Saga, Marvel would hold like the through arc for the next movies was going to be Chadwick Boseman's T'Challa. Brie Larson as Captain Marvel and Tom Holland as Spider-Man. And I don't think Tom Holland, maybe with the next movie, like the trilogy, how they wrapped up with No Way Home and where the character is now, and Brie Larson and the kind of the very vocal but small negative reaction to her in that movie, and the fact that Chadwick Boseman died terribly, it might be the Marvel Cinematic Universe might be a little listless right now in terms of what you're talking about, Patrick. I miss the presence of Captain America.
Right.
Like that, not having that kind of central folk, you know, heart of this universe where everybody kind of looks up to him. Even the characters in it look up to him, and the audience watching looks up to him, I am missing that. He was, and that's what's kind of like, that's what's missing.
Compass. Right. He was the moral compass of so,
So for right now, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is listless for me. I'm still entertained and I'm still engaged, but for whatever reason, it just feels like it's a shotgun.
Have you read about this? Is that a Chris Evans choice, or is that a direction of Marvel?
He said a few years ago that he wants, after he's done with his contract, that he was going to be done. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Like I don't know behind the scenes. He tried directing for a little bit, and I saw an interview years ago with him that was talking about how he wants to do more.
Can't hear you.
You can't hear
Patrick,
me.
You went out for a few seconds.
Oh, sorry. I saw an interview with him a few years ago that was talking about how he wants to do more behind the camera stuff, producing and directing. And he directed one movie, and it's not that great, but it's fine. But like, I think that he wants to focus more on that. But now he's like a bazillionaire, so like he doesn't have to do anything if he doesn't want to. So.
Yeah. And I think that you get to a point where you just want to like move on, right, you know, you just want to do other things. Like, can he make Marvel movies forever? And, you know, while he's still physically able to pull off being Captain America, could he do it? Sure. Cause it's a comic book movie and they can always just figure it out. But
I like the cap on the end. I don't want Robert Downey Jr. or him to come back. I like the end they got. I don't want them to like shoehorn them in later. Unless it's like 15 years later, then they can shoehorn them in. Then they can like stick them in. Like literally, I think they got a good cap. Don't give me the finger, Andrew. You're not my fucking producer. Like you don't. Yeah, I can talk about stuff as long as I want.
So, bro. Triggered.
So triggered. Okay.
I'm executive producing this.
Yeah. No, you're not. So, okay, list. Halo. I watched the first Halo. By the time we're recording this, the first two episodes of Halo series have come out. Have you watched the first two episodes, guys?
Yes.
What do you think of Halo? What's your feeling about this?
Andrew?
Silence.
I am entertained. It's I like Pablo Schreiber. I like Natasha McElhone, who plays Halsey. I think she might be a little young for the role. I always imagine Halsey is like kind of in her 60s.
Yeah.
So she might, and I mean, she's a very beautiful woman, but she's a little young, maybe.
I think they're going to make her be Cortana, and that's why. Like, she is Cortana, right? Like, spoilers, sorry.
This is the other thing to talk about. They are making some big departures from the books and the game lore. They're like... Yes. This is like this is almost like an inspired by show,
don't really like. Like, there's so much good lore.
I'm okay with it.
Oh.
Sure, but they're pulling in just enough of it so it's still Halo. Oh. But they're like the whole thing of like a lot of the Halo book, a lot of the Halo lore novels are now they're starting to pay off in the idea that humanity created these Spartans, they kidnapped children. They put them through these terrible process to turn them into super soldiers. And now they're dealing with the reality of what they did. The show is going to... It seems like it's going to be that story. Like, the reality of the fact that you kidnapped kids. You put them through abusive training. Made them into certain things. Took away some of their humanity in order to protect all of us.
Here's what I'll say.
And now they're realizing that... Holy shit, our original sin may be coming back to haunt us. That's a huge thing to try to get to. And if they do it right, that could be a fantastic story, a real human story.
But they're not. They're not doing it right is the problem.
Like, it's only two episodes, dude. You can't make judgments yet. You can't make judgments
that way. You're right. I would say out of the first two episodes, I found myself being a little bored because the fucking, like, the plot isn't moving. Like, there is no like real like threat happening at all. Like, I didn't feel it. I didn't feel like there was a sense of urgency at all. I don't like that they didn't like they introduced all the they could have like slow rolled this so much better in the first episode. Instead of like sending a bunch of like elites to go take out this town, what if it was like a shit ton of those little guys it's just a shit ton of them, and jackals, and then there's like three elites that are badasses that are just murdering people. Also, why do Spartan bullets go through their shields and normal bullets don't? Like, I don't understand why that is a thing. Because like those guys were just shooting them like nonstop, and their shields weren't going down.
They were using old ass AK-47s, whereas the Spartans were using the new Mark II assault rifle and battle rifle.
Okay,
and they're specially trained to be precise. And you're
sure.
Come on, they're super soldiers, dude.
Yeah, what?
You're looking for reasons not to like
it. I didn't like it.
Looking for reasons not to like
stuff. I didn't like it. I think that it's...
Stop looking for reasons not to like stuff. Look for reasons to like stuff.
Here's another thing that I didn't like. He took his helmet off. Like, they could have slow rolled that so much. Like, fine.
You take his helmet off. Worst. You're like talking to a Twitter commentary thread right now.
Yes.
You're rejecting the show because he took his helmet off?
I am not rejecting that he took his helmet off. I'm rejecting that he took his helmet off in the first episode. I think they should have slow burned that hardcore so that when he takes his helmet off, it's like the Mandalorian moment. When the Mandalorian takes his helmet off,
he took his helmet off.
It's amazing. You're like, holy shit.
You knew that it was different from the game. The game
I don't want it to be different than the game. I like the game.
Into the Master Chief. So go play the game. Don't watch the show.
Well, I have a podcast, Andrew, and I have
Have self-imposed yourself into the Master Chief in the game. It's not your Halo. It's a story about a character.
I didn't like his voice. His voice is not the Master Chief's voice.
You are totally ill-equipped.
I don't like
this
little girl.
You're done.
I don't like this little girl.
Your arguments are invalid.
I don't like the girl actress who is just like the human element that they had to like shoehorn in there. Focus on the chief. Get to his story. Tell his.
You're done.
Why is the government? Why is the
I'm going to
deafen
you. I cannot believe this.
Why is the government like these assholes? Why do they have to be assholes? Why can't they be?
Because they're assholes in the story.
No, they're not.
No, they're
not.
They totally are.
You're partying.
We kidnap kids. Dude,
you could have made them look good.
No, you couldn't have.
You could have made them look good and like slow roll this.
Why do you need them to be heroes all the time? That's boring.
All right. Okay. Moving on. Picard. There's four episodes of Picard by the time we're recording this. What do you think of Picard?
My love for Picard is the only thing keeping me interested in the show. It's boring.
It's boring.
Yeah. Love Patrick Stewart. I'll watch him do anything, but this show is boring.
Here's what I'll say too. Okay, and we've talked about this to no end because I love Star Trek. I love Next Generation Star Trek. I like Deep Space Nine. I like Voyager to some extent. Voyager is the weakest by far, but I like future Trek. In the future, stuff is happening. Do these writers just hate? Like utopia Star Trek?
You're not allowed to say that ever again. The fact that you would go to a place where you think that they hate
the
stuff they're working on.
Discovery, they hated it too.
Most toxic way to think about
this
something.
This is my
Patrick.
Thoughts! These are my
you,
thoughts, Andrew!
You gotta realize how toxic it is.
I'm not sitting there reading Twitter taking other people's opinions. I'm watching the show and thinking this for myself.
The fact that you're going to a place where, like, I'm going to assume that this writer doesn't love what he's creating. Like, he's actively trying to
what
create
what I'm saying, no, listen,
hate.
Listen,
you have
listen.
To abandon that idea.
Listen, do they hate future utopia Star Trek? Like, The idyalic future where humanity has their shit together. Hold on. Where humanity has their shit together. There's whole things where they work together. Like, do they hate that?
You're involved in the industry. You understand how this works. Lack of conflict is fucking boring.
I liked Star Trek that was hopeful and like had like. The characters worked together and liked each other.
There was always conflict, dude.
And solve problems with science, not a double-barrel shotgun, you know?
Well, sometimes they shot people, dude. If you remember the original series also Next Generation, they shot people.
They shot people, sure.
I mean, so they they have to figure out a way to communicate the universe in a way that is, it hooks people. Mm-hmm. And what Andrew is saying, which I agree with, is I'm watching for Picard.
Yeah.
And there's far too little of Picard in the show.
Totally. No, 100%.
The interaction with the Borg Queen, I love every aspect of a deep dive into the damage that he carries around because he was Locutus. And I just, exploration of that is amazing. The laziness of the, let's go back to 2024 and do offer mm-hmm. political commentary on lots of stuff on 2024. That irritates me. And the writers, I think, are, okay, well, let's use this as a vehicle to comment on our current times. And that's tired. That is tired.
Yes.
Don't interrupt.
I'm sorry.
You don't need to do that as an, you don't need to do that as an artist in order to find an interesting narrative in the Picard universe in the current timeline. You don't have to go back to 2024. And that's the bummer for me about the show is that reveal of whatever it is that appeared on the bridge of that ship that caused the self-destruct, and then Q shows up. All of that is super cool.
Yes.
And that, then you don't have to do the nostalgic fan service bullshit callback to Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home with the whales. You don't have to do that stuff.
Yeah.
To make it interesting in the current time frame of the show and the characters, but they do because they think they're being okay. Let's make it relevant. Well, no, the whole point of I'm agreeing with you, Patrick. The whole point of Star Trek was a hopeful future.
Yes.
They live in a society where you're solving problems not by shooting people in your first instance, right? You're trying to logically, reasonably try to solve and communicate and blah, blah, blah.
Not violent. Non-violent.
Right. Yes. All of that is a totally valid reaction to Picard because it's like, ugh, really? You got to go back in time and then just remind all the viewers about how fucked up our timeline is.
Yes,
right?
I am watching Star Trek as escapism. I want to escape this shitty timeline we're in. Like, mm-hmm. I want hope. you know, I want that we're gonna get through this, and humanity is gonna figure out their fucking shit. That's
hopefully
what I want.
Hopefully, to Andrew's point, I think everyone involved in Star Trek hopefully understands, at least the decision makers understand, sort of the bedrocks elements of Star Trek. Hopefully, they will get there eventually. However, I'm doubtful based upon the episodes of Picard so far.
Here's two things that I would love to nitpick. Just bear with me for two nitpicks about the show. One, they don't know their own lore because the our timeline ends with a nuclear war, and then things start over. And then they make the warp ship. Like, of humanity dies.
I'm going to nitpick your nitpick because previously in other Trek shows, by the 1990s, the eugenics war had been waged.
Yes.
And Khan was ruling most of Asia. And they had captured him and sent him away in the
totally.
Botany Bay.
Totally.
That's TOS. That's TOS
that,
Trek.
That timeline's so all kinds of screwed up. Yes.
I think... applying that
good
Trek
point.
Trek just retcons all the time.
All the time.
So
okay.
Allow for the retconning all the time. You're gonna lose your shit otherwise.
Right. Good point.
Yeah.
my second nitpick is there is an episode in I wanna say it's a season finale of season 4 and 5, beginning of season 5, what's called Time's Arrow, where they go back in time and Guinan is there with Mark Twain and she's just living on Earth as like a as like a person watching.
Yeah.
Picard comes back in time and she's working in a freaking bar called Ten Forward. Do you know how dumb that is? The fucking bar was called 10 Forward because it was deck 10 and it was the most forward of the ship. That's why it's called 10 Forward. She didn't call it 10 Forward because it was on 10th Street on 10 on Ford Street. No. Okay. Anyways, sorry. That's not my nitpick. My nitpick is Young Guinan.
That's writers thinking they're being clever, dude.
That, yes.
And it's not working. It's not
this,
working.
I'm patting myself on the back because, like, that's the writer writing 10 Forward is her bar name.
Won't this be cute? Yeah, yeah.
It does. It's silly.
That doesn't
I
make
agree.
Sense.
Hold on.
I didn't finish my second epic.
Well, it makes sense if you're on the streets 10th and forward.
Yeah.
then it makes sense, dude.
Yeah, sure. Guinan would have remembered. Guinan met Picard back then, and then she acts like she doesn't remember him. She met him 200 years ago when he time traveled. Right?
Maybe
you don't remember that. The writers don't remember that episode.
I remember that because that's a terrible. It's actually a really
time travel is difficult, man.
Time travel is difficult. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
And who knows? Maybe,
especially
maybe
when you don't watch your show and don't understand Star Trek. That's
maybe they just don't care. Yeah. Maybe they just don't
care.
Don't care. Maybe they don't. Well, it's okay. They don't have to care.
They don't
just make a show.
I hate Modern Trek, dude. It makes me so sad.
Does that mean you're not going to watch Strange New Worlds? I'm actually pretty hyped.
I'm going to give it every show in the modern streaming universe.
Strange New Worlds has an Enterprise problem for me. Is that I couldn't watch Enterprise because it was a prequel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it bugged the shit out of me. So
I really like Anson Mount as Christopher Pike. I think he's fun to watch. So I'll give it I'm going to watch it and hopefully it's fun.
I'll give it three episodes like every other streaming, in the modern streaming time, you give every show three episodes to hook you. If they don't, I'm moving on to my legs.
Star Trek.
Yeah.
Since we're talking Star Trek, I just finished season 3 of Star Trek Discovery.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And speaking of a slog, holy cow, was that there wasn't a single character that talk about not understanding how to write a compelling show when every character that you introduce is unlikable.
Oh god.
And
that's
season 1. I fell off of season 1 because I couldn't stand Michael Burnham. The central character of the whole show was unlikable.
Yes.
And none of the other characters were compelling and interesting.
Yeah. They're all assholes to each other, too.
They were all assholes, yes.
They're all assholes to each other. It's so annoying.
I connected with a colleague at work, and so I committed, who is a Trek fan. So I committed to, all right, I'm going to try to watch... I'm going to give it another try because I got three quarters of the way through season 1. So I finished season 1. I finished season 2 and 3. So now I'm through season 3. And it suffers from... It got better. I'll have to say it does get better in terms of, okay, these are characters that I really start to like. But the main challenge with the series continues to be Burnham is not that compelling of a character. Holy moly. So,
and I think they recognize that a little bit. Because season 2, they introduced Pike into Discovery.
Well, and then Spock is in season 2 also.
Pike is the Star Trekkiest of all Star Trek characters of this show. He is a compelling leader who exudes we're going to figure this out. We're all capable. This is the Federation. We got this. I mean, he is like that.
Yeah, that's
to your point, Patrick.
Yeah.
He is Star Trek. Everyone around him is oh my God, tormented. Holy shit, it's so much torment.
Yeah. The aspect of Trek that was appealing to me was everybody had their shit figured out. They weren't fucking going to the room stewing.
Characters were confident and experts in what they were doing.
You're on a spaceship. Like, yeah. You've studied this for years. You're a scientist. You're very smart. You don't have those troubles anymore. You've moved on.
And you're in the universe being exposed to, that's the glories of the original series.
I'm going to push back a little bit on what you guys are saying, because you might be remembering too much nostalgia. I've been doing a rewatch of Deep Space Nine.
Oh, yeah. Deep Space Nine is darker, dude.
It is darker. Yeah. And there are...
Ronald D. Moore is involved in that. So
exactly. Seasons 1, 2, and even 3 are very much traditional Trek.
Yep.
In the sense that Ronald D. Moore isn't into it. They're not fully blown into the Dominion War yet. Like, there's hints. Like, there's slow building to that. But Chief O'Brien does not have his shit together. He's having marital problems. Yes, he loves his family, all that shit. He does not really like Julian Bashir initially. Bashir's annoying. He's not like a fun character initially. He's kind of a goofball womanizer who really isn't that interesting. Kira is a pain in the ass constantly. She's dealing with major trauma. You don't really like her initially, though.
Yeah,
she's
not
a compelling. She gets better. Sisko is still dealing. Sisko is kind of. He is very Trek. Like,
he is very the trauma. Trek.
The trauma of losing his wife and the aspect of him being not dealing with that and like suffering and like trying to find his. And he hates Picard. Hates Picard.
Yeah.
Like, the initial, he kind of gets over it, but your first encounter with Sisko is he hates Picard.
Yep.
And by this, in the timeline, we are in, like, season 3 or 4 of Next Gen, and Picard is, like, it's after Locutus. You are deeply in love with Jean-Luc Picard when Sisko meets him, and you're like, you don't like Jean-Luc Picard? Your only encounter with him is when he's Locutus of Borg, and he destroys a fleet? And kills your wife.
Yeah, you hate that guy.
You actually reject Sisko at the beginning because you are fully invested in Picard and what he's gone through, and you love Picard. So
the central sort of premise. That's a key difference in the central premise of the shows, original series and Next Gen, is that it's exploration.
Yeah.
And Deep Space Nine is outpost, static. You've got to generate drama and narrative by it's character driven rather than event driven. Whereas original series, Next Generation can be event driven, right?
It's very different. They still are doing that. It's still 42 minutes. It's a solid, but it is you are struck. I at least going back and remembering it again and watching it again. You're struggling to find reasons to like these new characters.
I'll totally agree with that. I think even when I was a kid, like, I struggled to watch Deep Space Nine, but I love that it was in this world that I like.
Shared universe
also,
of it.
Here's what I'll say to your point, Andrew, is like in the first episode, like, he's dealing with some shit, and he even says he's gonna leave Starfleet, like, in the first episode.
Yeah.
But then he sees what's happening in this place and how he can affect it. And for the rest of the show, the beginning seasons, he's trying to fix Bajor and be Starfleet to these people. These people need the hopeful Starfleet to fix them and to like sort out their problems with peace, because it's like a pressure cooker, and he sees
the Cardassians and
Bajor is going to fall apart.
But then the DS9 goes fully into a war story.
Oh yeah,
by like season 3, they tell a war story for like 4 seasons,
right?
And it's episodic,
and they're at the center of it because they're right next to this.
It's the most important location in the entire Alpha Quadrant.
Yes. How do these guys get to the Delta Quadrant from
Gamma? This, Gamma Quadrant.
Gamma Delta Quadrant.
Delta Quadrant. Voyager.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Quadrants.
No, you're fine.
There's quadrants.
Dude, I am fully embracing like my Trek lore after watching this.
I love that. Like,
deep,
dude.
I am deep into the Trek lore.
I googled
Alpha Quadrant maps the other night so I could get like an idea in my brain of where all these stuff. I'm like, I am fully into it again.
Dude, the Romulan Star Empire was enormous. I never knew how big it was when I was like watching it as a kid. But then you look at those maps and you see like what space they control. Man, the Romulans, scary shit, man.
Scary shit. Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah. Long story short, Picard's boring, but we love Jean-Luc Picard, so we're watching.
I'm gonna keep watching it mostly because I can shit on this podcast. okay. So I don't really have much else. Oh, Top Gun Maverick trailer, a new one, and we actually have a date for that. I'm excited about that. I just wanted to mention that. If you guys had anything,
May, right? May.
May 27th. 20 something.
Yeah, it's Memorial Day weekend, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is Hull, gotta bring this up. Oh. The first two episodes of Kenobi are now debuting on Memorial Day weekend, and that's Fan Fusion weekend too.
Also,
that's gonna be an awesome weekend.
Also that day, Stranger Things season 4.
Yes.
Wow.
Stranger Things season 4 and Kenobi and Top Gun.
Have you decided? Are you gonna try to come to Phoenix for Fan Fusion?
I would love to, but dude, it's really close to when I'm about to have a baby, so I don't think I can. I don't think I can.
Stay with your significant.
Yes, I think I have to stay with my significant. I would love to, but I think that no. I think I have. Okay. I think
you gotta be close to home.
That's at the point where like you could, she could pop.
She could go at any time.
Exactly.
Yeah. What is your actual due date?
June 13th.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
She could go at any time.
Yeah. Yeah.
She'll be full term by then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No. Stay close to home.
I'd like to just mention that I'm still playing Dungeons & Dragons. So I'm playing Dungeons & Dragons today. They're on a path. Chris loved to do his Gloomhaven report. So I get, while he's not playing Gloomhaven and doing Gloomhaven reports, I would love to do a D&D report.
Yeah.
There's something that happened last time that's I've been building to for a long time. They went to a banquet with this lord. They just crowned this new king. This is all lore that I made up, by the way. So if you're wondering, they just crowned a new king in this, he's a boy. He's a young boy. The kingdom is in strife because when this timeline is taking place, all the lords were battling over who was going to be king. It's sort of like Game of Thrones, but this is like the aftermath of like everything is just, there's no armies left. Everybody's screwed up. They're having like, there's warlords running around, there's cults springing up because there's nobody like regulating stuff, and they go to this banquet with these like because they're trying to like build up their government again and like do stuff, and there's an assassination attempt by some drow, and then they're battling the drow, and then a dragon shows up and starts blasting the city, and it's like, why are the drow and the dragon working together? And they're like chasing the dragon, and then they're like, and the dragon, like I made the dragon like really high level, and it just like destroyed them, and it was a lot of fun. I almost killed two characters. Oops. But I like Dungeons and Dragons that like the fear of death is all ever present. Like you can't just. Like,
I have a narrative question about your Dungeons and Dragons.
This is all my lore. My lore.
I understand. But you have. This is something that I would think about. Is the dragon its own agent, or is it a tool of someone else's intention?
Spoiler alert!
I can't say, but I will. Okay. I will say this to you.
This is a character choice. Is the dragon sentient or not?
In Dungeons and Dragons,
all
dragons are intelligent creatures. Okay. They're like Smaug. They're dragons. So they do their own thing. They could be working for other people. They could be working on their own accord. So why
would the dragon interfere in human kingdom affairs is the question.
That's a great question.
Party needs to investigate that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the party.
Who is behind the dragon attack?
Exactly.
I love it. Yes. Love it.
Wait, yes.
Do you reveal what type of dragon?
It's a blue dragon. I've shown this to you guys before. It shoots lightning. So it was shooting lightning at this.
Lightning.
It was
That's dope.
Yeah, you got it. podcaster people listening can't see this, but it's like a giant blue dragon from Dungeons and Dragons. It's like the legit
damage. Lightning damage.
So it was blasting them from the sky. It never landed. It just was flying around the city, just blasting lightning
ace
bolts.
Spectre gunship style, just yeah. AC-130, rain and death.
They were like afraid to engage it because they knew that they were going to get like lit up.
I love it.
But one of the characters has fireball now, so I don't know if you like fireball is pretty nasty. He could have shot at it. I don't know. If he would have hit it hard enough, I would have thought about maybe the dragon crashed. I don't know, but he didn't.
That sounds fun, Patrick.
Yeah,
that is fun.
Dungeons and Dragons. I'm playing
today.
That's
pretty fun.
Super fun. So yeah, they're gonna have their own shit to deal with. Okay, so. That's about it. I have other things on my list, but like they're not as important. Like my flag, our flag means death. It's sort of okay. And Ghosts on HBO Max, the BBC Ghosts, really funny. You should watch that if you haven't watched
it.
Hilarious, but short seasons, like 6-episode seasons, like BBC loves to do.
I tried to watch Our Flags Mean Death. I couldn't really get into it. I gave it a couple of episodes.
Me too. It's kind of weak.
I think Taika Waititi and his humor, I think it gets better, and if I'd given it more of a shot, because I think he shows up as Blackbeard eventually.
He sure does.
And Steed Bonnet is like a real life gentleman pirate from history.
Yeah.
But it just didn't, and I love pirate shit.
I'm gonna wait till most of them are out, and then I'm gonna like power through it, because I've watched the first four, but then I sort of like lost interest in it. It's kind of weak. It's not as good. You should definitely watch Ghosts, though. Ghosts is freaking hilarious. Oh my god. And I'm also watching Deary Girls on Netflix, because I never watched Deary Girls.
I'll promote this a little bit. I've never watched Deary Girls, but a new season. I don't know if you guys have watched The Flight Attendant on HBO Max with Kaley Cuoco as the central character. Yes, the season 2 is coming out. Ash and I love the first season, and we'll definitely be watching season 2.
Okay.
That's a fun.
We haven't watched
I really
that.
Dug it.
We're going to finish after we finish Euphoria season 2. Hannah and I will have to watch that, cuz that comes out.
You'll get sucked into the mystery of the flight attendant. It's a good show. And Kaley Cuoco carries it really well.
Nice.
Really
good. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, that was a rapid fire episode of all the shit that I had.
Love it.
Out.
That was great. Good job, Patrick. That was awesome.
I will only add for discussion purposes that I'm banging my head against Elden Ring.
It's so good.
That game is this maddening mix of making you feel like, okay, I got my shit together, and then just getting two-shotted by somebody. And so it's a
100%.
It is a commitment, I will say. And the mind, you have to shift your mindset. It is not a power fantasy in any way.
Nope.
Yeah.
It is a solve the move set, figure out, survive, and then try to kill the boss. It's or the stupid group of goblins in front of you that can kill you, or rats, fucking rats can kill you.
Oh, the rats. The rats are serious.
I vacillate back and forth between, oh my god, I'm gonna throw my controller to, oh wow, this is super fun.
There are like dramatic like things on the internet of people like breaking their controller in half or like smashing their television. Like, I don't know how much of that is real, like, because I can't trust anything.
Some of those like rage quit videos. Yes. They're so funny. I mean, and that's part of the reason why people watch Dr. Disrespect is because they are waiting for him to like freak out on screen. And he's just a character that this streamer plays.
He's a character. Yeah.
Yeah, but some of the rage quit videos are so funny.
There's a compilation on YouTube of rage quit, like Twitch streamers rage quitting.
Yeah.
Those are hilarious, dude.
Hilarious. You want to just laugh out loud at the absurdity.
It's freaking beautiful.
Yeah.
On the Series X, it's a freaking beautiful, beautiful game.
Yeah.
And I have been all over the land, and it is unbelievably well and interestingly designed. And
have you heard the rumor about for future expansions of the game, they want to pull in Brandon Sanderson to write some of that?
Yeah. Very smart. Yeah. Very smart
That's
guy.
That's kind
of
cool.
The lore in it is so weird and confusing. God, like,
yeah, it's super weird. But I mean, I play video games to escape and have fun, and this game is I have to like work hard in my real life on all aspects of things, and I'm usually not a huge fan of having to work so freaking hard to enjoy myself. But I'm gonna keep plugging away.
Here's what I'll say to that was less so for like the Demon Souls and Dark Souls and Bloodborne era was it was very linear. You got to a boss and you had to fight him to get through, and you couldn't go anywhere else. Like, that was it. You had to get past that guy. This game, if you're having trouble with the boss...
Made me quit the game. That design would have made me quit the game, because...
This, you can go, okay, you're having trouble with one guy, go somewhere else, level up, and my one tip to you, Christopher, is, like, and I'm seeing a lot of this on Reddit, too, is, like, don't forget to level your vigor, like, your health. Like, that is... like crucial to you surviving encounter, right?
That means I have no qualms or any I have no issue with me cheesing the game by just grinding runes,
yes,
and using whatever I can to gain runes without having to fight anybody and leveling up, because I don't, you know, the game is so hard as it is that I don't give a shit.
Yeah, there's people who are like, oh, you don't want to be too far ahead because like then you can't cheese it. There's guys who like fight all the stuff at level one. Why would you do that?
Just did you do that?
Why do you?
What are you proving? I'm not impressed, dude. I'm honestly not impressed.
Yeah, if I'm 100 when I go fight Godric, I don't care.
I don't care.
It's like I just want to beat it, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, do you have any trivia, Andrew? No.
Well, I didn't hear you, Patrick.
You cut out. Do you have any trivia, Andrew?
I do, and it is Star Trek themed.
Yes. Let's go. Let's
okay.
And go.
Okay. Factoring in original series, the next gen, DS9, and Voyager. Those four series. How many episodes between those four series?
I want to exist. Okay, so
plus or minus 10.
Next Generation went 22 episode seasons, 24 sometimes, 24, 22 episode seasons back when they were doing that. And then Voyager was
These were on syndication, and Voyager was on the UPN for
UPN.
A while.
UPN. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Before it was what, CW? Now it's become CW.
So TOS was on NBC.
TOS Next Gen only went 2.5 seasons, and it was, I don't think it was, was it 22 episodes? So
I don't know.
I'm gonna say okay, I'm doing some math in my head here. Hold on. So 7 seasons of Next Gen, 2.5, so let's say okay, so that's 9.5. And then Deep Space Nine was 6 seasons. And then Voyager was 5 seasons. 4 seasons? No, I think maybe a 6 also. 5 seasons. So hold on, let me write that down.
You gotta do some fast math.
I'm 425.
425? Oh, geez.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on. Where's my calculator? I want a real guess here. Real guess. 7 plus.
You gotta play the Jeopardy music.
Plus, let's say 2, and 5. So that's 25 times. 22. No, that doesn't seem right. Right? 20 times 22. 440 is my guess.
You guys are dramatically under.
Oh!
So, the original series, you're correct. 2.5 seasons, 79 total episodes.
Damn!
Next Gen went 7 seasons, 20 5 to 26 episodes because it was in syndication.
26
episodes. 179 episodes of Next Gen. DS9 went 7 seasons.
It went 7. Damn it.
So 176 episodes.
Damn.
Wow.
Voyager went 7 seasons.
It went 7 seasons.
Oh. 22 episodes apiece for 172 episodes.
Damn.
Total Trek episodes between those four, 605.
Holy shit.
Right? Amazing.
It's amazing. When you think about like Discovery doing like 10 episode seasons, it's like that seems like nothing. That seems like, I mean,
yeah, the fact that Next Gen, the fact that these series were like, they were literally like NCIS.
Yeah.
Or like all those series where it's like we're producing 23 episodes or 22 episodes a season, right, doing 42 minutes of television a week,
right,
and like all that goes into it for 50 or 45 weeks out of the year.
Security, man. Job security.
Job security. Right? Yeah.
And like I remember thinking back to like the times when I would watch DS9 and I would watch Next Gen and the fact that I was so into it and watching Voyager and like these people are on a TV show. But, like, these people are the most famous people in my world. And then they, like, show up on, like, random sitcoms. I'm like, can't you get a better job than being on a random sitcom after being on 190 episodes of a TV show?
Well, and then, and like if they just wait a little bit, like, for how much they've sold Next Gen and Deep Space Nine to Netflix and Prime and all this stuff, they get a paycheck from all their union deals. They get a paycheck every time that happens.
Oh yeah.
So,
that's why they're not scrambling to be on other TV shows.
They just
shows.
Have to wait a little bit and then you're rich as hell. Like television pays you forever. So,
but think about that. It's literally Next Gen, DS9 and Voyager all did 7 seasons.
That's crazy.
That's so long.
I didn't know
that's
it was
so
that
much
I didn't
TV.
Know it was 7 episodes each, like, or 7 seasons each. Like that's I thought it was less. It definitely
was. Nope.
I was my numbers were off because I thought there were shorter seasons.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah, definitely.
Each of them are at least 22 and some of them are more.
That's crazy. 25, 26 episode seasons is nuts.
Yeah, half a year of TV every year.
That's wild. Thank you, Andrew, for helping us for the trivia question. Great, great question. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. Email the podcast, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Brothers_geek on Twitter, Brothers Geek Do Stuff on Instagram, brothersgeek.com.
Follow Brothers Geek right now because next weekend we're all going to be together doing family shit.
Family
so you'll
stuff.
See pictures of family shit next weekend because we're all getting together in LA for some celebration. It's going to be great.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it. Nothing to say? No.
Get vaccinated and save the world.
Excellent.